Of the coming of the Christ child. A big part of our celebration of Christmas each year are the songs we sing. Silent Night, Joy to the World, O Come All Ye Faithful. And then there's this one.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king.
Let us remember that these are more than just words of a Christmas hymn we sing once a year. This was the prayer prayed for centuries by God's people who were longing for a Savior. And now we rejoice. Their prayers were answered. Christ, our Redeemer, has come. And the story of how and why he came is the story we tell today.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day. And the sky was bright with a holy light for the place where Jesus lay.
Oh, how the angels sang that night as heaven's joy fell upon the earth. Bethlehem's dark streets began to shine with an everlasting light as the hopes and fears of a world in darkness gave way to a new song of joy.
Thank you.
This Christmas, we lift our voices in worship and adoration of Christ, and we are reminded why he came. He came that the world may know that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. He came that the world may know that God loves us so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He came to teach us to love one another. He came so that the chains of sin can be broken, and in his name oppression cease. He knows our need. To our weakness, he is no stranger. And because he came, we sing sweet hymns of joy, raised in praise to his holy name. We sing that the world may know.
God had a plan in place before all time began, before the dawn of Eden, before the fall of man. He whispered it to David, it's in the songs he sings, words about the Son of God, the long-awaited King. He spoke to Isaiah a prophecy so wild, no one could imagine a virgin with a child. And he revealed to Micah a wonder for all men, a ruler and Messiah that would come from Bethlehem.
Thank you.
It was time for the taking of the census, as decreed by Caesar Augustus, and thus all of the streets and inns and other public places in and around Bethlehem were filled with activity. But somewhere amid the business and chaos, there came, in the moment, a holy hush, a silent night. A child was born.
Son of God,
love's pure light,
lying in a manger,
sleeping in heavenly peace. Jesus, our Lord at his birth. First Christmas night, the dawn of redeeming grace, with the very glory of heaven streaming down upon the earth, and God's love flowing like crystal pure water poured out on a vast, dry desert land. This is how he came. It was the moment in the gospel story where a merciful God stretched forth his hand in an indescribable act of loving kindness, tender and mild. Yet sovereign and omnipotent, almighty in his power to so simply, yet so majestically, illuminate the darkness with his everlasting light.
And just as it happened that first Christmas, somewhere in this very moment, someone, perhaps in this very place, is hurting and needs and crying out for Savior. Heaven, here's your cry. Heaven sees your fear. Heaven knows your name. Hope has come.
Once again, the Father stretches forth his loving hand, reaching out to find you here in your very own silent night.
But you feel too far gone.
Christmas is a time for invitations. We receive them in all sorts of ways, through the mail, via text and social media, by phone, and face-to-face. Invitations to come celebrate the season with those we love are everywhere around us. And invitations have always been a part of the Christmas story. The angels appearing to the shepherds, inviting them to come to Bethlehem to see the newborn king. A cosmic invitation appearing in the heavens as a bright star, inviting the wise men to come and seek the Christ child. We hear it in the songs we sing. Come to Bethlehem and see. Come, all ye faithful. Come and behold him. Come, let us adore him. Here, this morning, he extends an invitation to us to go beyond the imagery of the babe lying in a manger, inviting you to come to him here and now, just as you are. Jesus is waiting for you to respond to his invitation to know him in the fullness of his grace and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Invite him to come to you into your heart to rule and reign as Lord of your life. Come now, worship the King.
Come out of sadness, from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden. Come sit at the table. Come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary. A rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. There's joy for the morning. Sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden. Lay down your shame.
Christ is the Lord. We sing praise to his name. His power and his glory we evermore proclaim.
I will give you in my heart. Oh, well, I think we can do better than that. Seated. It is an interesting thing that I spend hours and hours every week preparing, just as many other pastors all across this country, this great nation of ours, and even across the world. We spend hours of our week toiling over some little message that we try to put together to come and stand, and myself in this pulpit, and to make some sort of a persuasion, if you will, that I might present a message to you, not my own message, but a little simple message that you might, through hearing it, decide that there just may be something to this Jesus character. There might just be something to this message that, even if it is true, that I should consider it and to consider my ways. And I want you to know that I sat over there this morning and I realized that our choir just did the same thing that I struggle to do every week, but they did it so magnificently through spoken word and through singing. They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that does my heart well, because I sat there and I said, my, through the mouths of babes and sucklings. It's an amazing thing. I thought about, the Bible is pretty clear that God would confound the wise of this world, the wisdom of this world, through his wisdom, would take the foolishness of the message preached to save his people. That he would take the foolishness of the message we preach. What is that message? Oh, you guys did such a great job of laying it out. If y'all don't mind, I'll throw my 2 cents in. This is the message: that God entered into his own creation in a little town called Bethlehem. It's an amazing thing. We read it earlier today. Where's Chris Cashin? Elder Cashin, thank you so much. We read it today, the message that the angel Gabriel came and he gave to Mary. Can I have that message up on the screen? The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Let me pause there. Right in the middle of verse 32, something amazing happens. The angel tells Mary, "You're going to give birth and you're going to name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." And right where you have that semicolon, an amazing thing happens. We talked about last week, as we've been walking through Isaiah, we talked about prophetic compression, whereas the prophecy would be given in the Bible. And right in the middle of that prophecy, he would jump from the first advent to Christ's second advent, his first coming to his second coming. And here we have the angel Gabriel proclaiming to young Mary, you're going to have a child. You're going to name him Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. But then it says, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. It's an interesting thing. When you bring up Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 6 and 7, for a child will be born to us. This is some 700 years before Gabriel announces to Mary, for a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. I don't know about you guys, but when I read my Bible and Jesus was born in the manger and he walked these dusty streets, healed the sick, raised the dead, preached the gospel, at no point did he take the throne of David. Or am I missing something? I don't believe I am. But we know Jesus is King. And that same baby that was born of a virgin, he's coming back yet again. And we can celebrate and proclaim to the world that Christ has come. And any man, boy, or girl, or woman who places their faith in that baby, in that man, will have eternal life. And so on this morning, we can sing and we can shout and we can rejoice. But we should never miss the opportunity to offer Christ to someone who may not know him in your current condition. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, we thank you on this morning as a corporate body of believers. We have sat and we have worshiped you in the beautiness of your holiness. Our choir has sang so beautifully and through spoken word declared that indeed our Savior has come. And the gift that God gave through him is available to everyone right here and right now. And if there is one in this place who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, has not told Jesus, Jesus, I've run my life up until this point, and I finally come to the point where I recognize I can't save myself. I've transgressed your law. Jesus, take the wheel of my life, come into my heart, make me a new person, make me acceptable to God. Do for me what I could never do for myself. Be my Lord and my Savior. I'm crazy enough to believe that through the foolish message of the gospel preached, that you're able to give me eternal life, that you're able to give me peace with God, that you're able to give me life and life more abundantly. And so this is our prayer this morning, Lord, as we exalt you, God's baby. Have your way in the hearts of your people. Take out hearts of stone. Give hearts of flesh that we can seek you. raised rebel sinners to life in Jesus. We pray. Amen.